Yeah. So we have a computer presentation. Blackboard will take me too much time. Actually, the topic is very close to what Sasha discussed, but turned in a different way. And so I make some introduction to Hillishaw flow and then singularities. I'm sorry, if you excuse me, something happened with my voice yesterday, so I couldn't speak very loudly. It is a very important problem, and I try to explain what it is and why it is important. There is a number of people working on this problem. They all disagree with each other. I have about almost 7 or 8 collaborators. We all disagree either. It's not surprising because the history of this problem range from more than 100 years. And a disagreement may basically, the origin of disagreement that the problem itself is ill-posed. And how to pose it correctly, this is what I'm going to talk about. So don't expect any result from this talk. I will not come to any conclusion. I just describe what's the problem, why it is interesting, how to pose it correctly from my point of view, and show some relations. But the problem is wide open, and there's not much result which I can present it. And here's a list of people whom I'm working with. So less than whom I have papers on this subject. So, this problem has many surprises. And one surprise is that Hillishaw is one and not two. And he's also inventor of variable pitch propeller for Her Majesty naval ships. Okay. So here's the story. you bring two glass plates together. This is supposed to be two parallel glass plates, making a very tiny gap between them. And by doing so, you implement two-dimensional geometry. Nowadays, the distance between glasses are almost 10 microns, so it's very, very tiny gap, so almost two-dimensional. And then put some liquid fluid here. It's formed some menisc, and push it. So this flow, this is Hillishaw flow. It's pretty simple. It's a flow of viscous fluid confined in two-dimensional cell. So the name may be a bit esoteric, but the problem is very simple. Newtonian viscous fluid confined in two-dimensional cell. Okay. I'm sorry. This fluid, I will later, for some historical reason, called it oil. It's because it's very viscous and incompressible. And this one I will call water, although it's usually typically air. It's also I assume it to be incompressible, but less viscous. Okay. It is a short exercise from Navier-Stokes to confine Navier-Stokes equation between two cells, two plates. And Navier-Stokes equation highly simplified in this limit, and also in the limit when one liquid is very viscous and the other is not. It become a very simple law, which is called Hillishaw flow. This law presented here, after gap averaging through this gap, because it's very small, you get the following equation. This is velocity of the front, which is proportional to the gradient of velocity of the front, which is proportional to the gradient of pressure of whatever is outside. The fluid is incompressible, and so the pressure therefore is harmonic, and that's about it. Of course, there is that's about it. It's an interface which is driven by gradient of the harmonic function that's it. Two-dimensional interface driven by the harmonic function. I'll show you some different realization, but if I look on my plates from the top, I will see a lake of this fluid, which moving, I call it water, which moving and outside is oil. So oil sink at some point at infinity, and the interface both are incompressible, and the interface moving with a normal velocity, which is proportional to gradient of pressure of oil. Pressure is in oil is harmonic with a sink at infinity at some point, which means some constant, which is called flux. So this is it. Despite of the simplicity, there is no much advance almost for half a century. Okay, and here is my pictures. I mostly show pictures, although the problem involves a lot of mathematics. But I restrict myself to showing pictures.
There is no friction on the plates.
No friction. No friction. People make a special preparation to avoid frictions. There is a long story. Yes. Okay, this is a view on top. So there is two planes. You pump water here, and oil is occupied the cell. Everywhere is oil, and you pump water, it forms some interface. You pump more and more, interface growing. That's the question. And oil sink over there. Oh, like that.
Why is there a sink?
So it's this end is open up, and when you press water inside, oil here goes away.
Yeah, but then you close the sink.
Yeah, there is a basket here or gas station.
In other words, is there an oil flow?
No. Oil just go away. Just go away.
Oh, then there is no oil.
No, still here there is still oil. Okay, there is a cell. Think about infinite cell, large. It's filled by oil. Now in the upper glass, you drill a hole, small hole, put a pump, and start to put water or air.
Oh, you keep it going.
And you keep going. It's a dynamical problem. It's a problem, non-equilibrium problem. So you keep going. Water goes away because it's incompressible. Both liquids are incompressible. And the interface grows. And you want to know how does this interface grow. That's it. Sometimes there are different setups when there are several droplets of water. Okay. A similar problem occur in ground water flow. And it's independent appearance of the same equation. Suppose you have a rock with a porous, and you want to push water through this rock. Well, usually gravity does this. And then water going through porous media apparently obey the same, almost the same law. And this is called Darcy law due to French huge engineer Darcy who basically established it. But it's the same law. There are many different appearances of this problem. Many things growing or evolving according to this law, and that's why it's called Laplacian growth. Sometimes when velocity is proportional to the gradient of the harmonic function, that's it. Okay, here's the slide. it's just a repetition what I said before. And here's the way how computers solve this problem. It draws initial domain. And then solve Dirichlet problem outside in oil. Oil is here. So it solves Dirichlet problem. Dirichlet problem is posed, you look for harmonic function having a source at infinity when oil goes away, over here, assuming that pressure is equal along the boundary. Why it is equal along the boundary? Because water is supposed to be not viscous at all. And the consequence of this, pressure is constant along this boundary. Okay. So normal velocity is a gradient of harmonic field. I'm sorry. Then, so you find velocity, then it's move, it's another form. And then computer have to run again, Dirichlet problem, find it again, take a gradient, find a new velocity, move the interface. So it again move the interface. So it's rather non-linear stuff. Okay. Well, appearance of this thing in nature is almost everywhere. For instance, this is a flame with no convention. If there is no convention, that's again the same law. And you can see that this experiment made in Israel. It shows a very dramatic fingering instability. So it is not flat, but rather finger. And it's a current flame with no convention. So the motto of this slide is, any but plane front is unstable, and an arbitrary small deviation from a plane front causes a complex set of fingers growing out of control. This is the subject. Okay, so in that geometry, if my initial water lake interface is ideal circle, it will expanding like a circle. There are too much symmetries here. But if I make a small bump, an arbitrary small bump, then this is typically what you will see. So this small deviation, arbitrary small deviation of the circle will cause circle used to be here. And then it's growing but exploded in complicated branching pattern with singularities and branching and all crazy stuff. This is a real experiment in fluid mechanics. And by the way, about the friction, the glasses for that particular, that's probably the best picture, made out of glasses used in Hubble telescope. They're very polished. This is called fingering instabilities, and the problem people usually want to address is how to describe this pattern. The pattern looks almost the same whether you start from this shape or some other shape, but not circle, not ideal circle. Then initial conditions will be lost in time, and some terrible, terrible complicated pattern occur. So one concludes that except of very special initial conditions, for instance, circle or also ellipse, they're very special. Ellipse will remain ellipse while growing, but all others bring something when initial boundary condition will be lost in time, and the shape will not depend on boundary condition in a statistical sense. So we can say that all the shapes are in law. It's a particular realization, and no matter what boundary condition you come from something like that.
In this slide where you show how the computer solved it, where the pumping coming?
Pumping coming in some given point.
In the equation with computer solves.
Pumping, it doesn't matter. So you can put pumping here or pumping here. It doesn't matter, as soon as we'll be in water. Look, there is two points here. It's called marked points. When I put water and when I take oil away. Okay? So the Dirichlet problem doesn't know about what happens inside. It's the interface, boundary of the domain. You have to solve Dirichlet problem on this boundary with a source and determine the find gradient. Gradient is called harmonic measure. And then determine the velocity. You having velocity, the domain moves. And so you have to solve the problem again. Good. Okay, but the essence of this problem is that it is unstable. Okay, because of instability, people start to wonder because of this instability, some pieces of this flow becomes very tiny. And then some other mechanism, but pure this dynamics has to be taken into account to tame this instability. And one of them is the surface tension, which is not taken into account in this equation. These equations are written without surface tension. If you introduce surface tension, the Dirichlet problem changed. And instead of saying that pressure equals zero, on the boundary, so it's a Dirichlet problem. It will be changed by saying that surface pressure equals some number which is surface tension proportional to curvature. This curvature tames these things, and then there are two competing forces. One is how fast I pump, so how fast it grows. And second force is taming force, diffusion force, diffusive mechanism, which want to close this around this instability. They compete. And this picture shown for very fast pumping, when surface tension almost negligible. And this is for surface tension, slow pumping, when surface tension have time to round it up. Okay. So there are two groups of thoughts about this. One thinks that one way of thoughts thinks that surface tension is extremely important because this is indeed what happened in fluid mechanics, and it has to be taken into account. Once it's taken into account, all the beautiful things which I am going to show you about this problem and why this problem is interesting will be destroyed. Another school of thoughts which I belong to say that surface tension must be put zero from the very beginning, and we have to consider because it's play a role of a diffusive mechanisms, and I don't want any diffusion. Without diffusion, it's a purely geometrical growth. It's basically solving Dirichlet problem time every time. It's purely geometry play a role, no diffusion. Well, as soon as we drop this for surface tension or any diffusive mechanism, we are coming to a trouble because this pure equation at finite time eventually leads to a cusp-like singularities. No matter what you start, except few distinct patterns like circle and ellipse, sooner or later, but at finite time, this initial bump will resolve to cusp-like singularity, like it's drawn here. This is the most simple curve next to the ellipse. It's given by the conformal map, by a very simple conformal map. If I drop this part, that will be a circle. So Z is my physical plane where happened the story happened, and this is uniformization parameter, so this is a map which mapping this thing to a circle. Which I called W plane, and this is it. So this is a map. And the most next figure to the circle, it is called so-called hypertrochoid, which is drawn here. It's given by this equation. So if you run W along the circle, then this is what you have. So if the initial data is like that, very smooth and nice, then very soon it will hit through a cusp. As soon as it hits through a cusp, and this is a major thing in the story, sooner or later there will be cusp-like singularities. So then as soon as they occur, R and U depends on time. So it's growing, remain to be hypertrochoid, and then hit the cusp. But this is it's a generic situation. This has happened for all initial data. As soon as it happened, we don't really know what to do, because if you continue this drive, then basically what happened is the curve go to, so this is dynamic, so it comes to the cusp, and then go to a wrong sheet of the Riemann surface. This is what happened. So this equation, this story describes evolution of Riemann surface. I will not have time to do this, to talk about it, but there is always you don't know about them. But oil exploration people not supposed to know about second sheets of the Riemann surface, and if they drive this equation, it goes to the second, so it becomes unphysical, right? So you can continue them as they are written, and that's why people thought of all kinds of mechanisms how to tame this in order this not to happen. And this one of them is to add any kind of diffusion, diffusive forces like surface tension. Then it's never happened. But the problem stopped to be interesting.
So where does this the cusp occur in your equation? What values of R and U?
Oh, there's some numbers which I don't remember. It's no. Yeah, particular values.
Which are reached at
which depends on the initial on the area.
Which are reached at finite time. That's the point.
Yeah, but exactly. This happened not in infinite time, not but it happened at finite time. So sooner or later, but rather sooner, it stopped to work. As soon as singularity growing up very dramatically, fast and uncontrollable way, so it really happened very soon. I play with many examples of this kind. So at that point, you have to sort of change this law, and the other come to back to Navier-Stokes equation, but that will you many different mechanisms to tame them, one of them here, or you have to assume something else. And what is this something else? This is a story about. But before this, let me say that cusps are usually occur of this form. Y and X are local coordinates at the cusp, close to the cusp, this shape is hyperelliptic curve, and the genus depends on L of strength of the cusp. And what basically we are talking about is about evolution of hyperelliptic curves. We can put it in this way.
Which light condition chooses L?
Initial data. Yes. But L is typically 1, and this is generic. If L is higher, which is a curve, you have to fine tune the initial data. It's completely unstable. So L equal to 1, this is what happened, 2, 3.
Generically, is L equal 1?
Yes. You can tune it for L equal 2, 3, 5, but it's unstable. So as soon as you touch it, it goes to 2, 3 cusp. Okay, before I proceed, I have to give you a few equivalent forms of Hill-Shaw flow and explain what this equation is about and how to uncover it. The important notion of this story is harmonic moments. Here, what are they? You take a holomorphic function, raise it to the negative integer power, and integrate it over the exterior domain over OL. This quantity is called harmonic moment. They play important roles. If the number of droplets is not one, but it's multi-connected domain, it's the same definition. Okay. Now, there is a so-called Richardson's theorem, which says that this evolution means that Cauchy transform of the exterior of the domain doesn't depend on time. So if you compute Cauchy transform of the exterior of the domain, this is definition of the Cauchy transform, then this quantity doesn't move. And basically, this quantity codes initial data. You give me initial data, you give me some geological map with this oil, I count the initial data, this, and then I know that they will stay the same after, while I'm extracting this oil from the ground. Okay, so it doesn't move.
Wait, is this independent of the presence of surface tension or
not? No. Everything which I'm talking about is no diffusive mechanism at all, so it is zero. Okay. If Cauchy transform is concerned, then expansion of over every coefficient of this expansion is conserved, and they are harmonic moments, so they don't move.
Is the surface tension very small? Is
a singular point? Yeah. It completely destroys the problem. Move it in different domain. There are some people who are interested in this, but it's entirely different story. And arbitrary small surface tension will destroy the problem. Let me emphasize that without it, when it's exactly zero, the growth is purely geometrical, and this is I would like to emphasize. It's a purely geometrical error, not more.
Right?
No, no, this is different.
It's a letter.
It's a different dynamics. Then it's become. Then, well, okay. So due to this conservation of local of harmonic moments, Laplacian growth in this ideal setting can be rephrased as the following: find evolution of planar domain under which area grows, because you pump water, it's gross, while dipole, quadrupole, and other moments stay the same. That's simply geometric. This is why I call it. This is why I call it geometrical. So you keep dipole, quadrupole, and all the moments as the same area growing. What happened? The problem is ill-defined, as I have said, because it's come to a cusp and go to another sheet of Riemann surface. Okay. Another reformulation of the same problem, which is a little bit more complicated than the previous one, is through so-called string equation. If Z of W, a map over the exterior of the unit disk to the exterior of the domain, this map is, I call it Z of W. So I take exterior of the unit disk and map it to the exterior of the domain. Then, and Z bar at inverse point, I call it Schwarz reflected map, then these two quantities obey simple relation, which is symbolically written as a Poisson brackets, and this definition of the Poisson brackets is the following: you take a function which depends on the uniformization parameter, it's a mapping, it's here, differentiate on it, over it, and differentiate over time. That's, and then this growth become equivalent to question of evolution of conformal map under this equation. It's an equivalent formulation. So basically, we are talking about evolution of conformal maps. Okay. Now, this equation has known in appears in string theory in beginning of 90s, or rather in quantum gravity, but in fact has been derived by Pelageya Yakovlevna Polubarinova Kochina. It's a Russian female mathematician. She lived. She derived it in 1949, just after the war. She lived 100 years, exactly 100 years, and her published papers span the interval from 1924 to 1999. And I don't think that there is any other example of this performance. Okay. Okay. So there are two reformulations. Let me give you another one. Another reformulation in Principia Maxima. Let me consider the following functional, which depends on density rho. So I write a Coulomb gas, sort of two-dimensional Coulomb gas interaction, and place this in a certain potential, which is given. And I ask, find rho, which find the density which minimizes potential. It's a Coulomb gas problem, classical Coulomb gas problem. If potential chosen in the following way, such as it's Laplacian, it's 1. So you take Laplace from this, you get 1. And this is a holomorphic function, harmonic function, which disappear if you take Laplace from here. And this coefficients of this holomorphic function, it's regular at 0. And these coefficients are exactly harmonic moments, which are conserved in the problem, so it's sort of initial data. Then minimization of these things give you the following: rho equal 1 inside water, rho equal 0 outside water in oil, and the shape of the domain equal to exactly this number. It's not a complicated statement, but it's a reformulation of the problem. So once again, so suppose you draw some initial data, which also almost circle, but with some bump. Then you compute dipole, quadrupole, and other moments. They call TK. It's initial data. You put it here. You get that stuff. And then you ask, what's the minimum with a given area?
Well,
And the minimum with a given area, and the minimum will be exactly the domain. So you grow the area, the domain grows.
Is the statement that for some large areas the solution does not exist? Or?
Yeah, and then the statement is that for a large area solution doesn't exist. It's in fact, since you asked me this question, I mean, make this point, there is the following interesting observation that if you start from some domain with a given area, which I called T, this is area, and all other this harmonic moment, TK, right, and start to evolve it, it comes to a cusp, right? So there is a critical area, which is a function of the initial data, when the story stops. But then, apparently, there is an area which is larger than T star, when domain again exists. So the evolution, the story going like that. So it is, so you start to grow this domain, this is initial data, it grows, it comes to a cusp, then you don't know what to do. But if you close your eye for a second, not for a second, but for some time, then there will be another domain with an area, this is much less than critical area, with an area more than critical area, but with the same TK. So evolution cannot be continued for some time, but then again continue.
In this formulation.
In this formulation. Right. No, it's the same reformulation of the same story.
It will be physical solution.
Hmm?
It will be really physical solution or not?
If, for instance, if you happen to introduce some mechanism which is tame the singularity or something, or change something here, but then open your eye later on, you again see nice evolution. So its evolution not completely stopped, it stopped for a time.
Okay. But you need to impose another set of initial conditions for the other.
No. It's the same T-case.
But you have to find you.
So it's graphically it looks like that. It looks like that. So there is a time, which is area of the domain, how much water I pump in. And then evolution is okay up to here to T, no problem. And then but here, so you have a cusp, and then there is another T double star from you can drive again the same evolution with the same.
What if you put time the other way?
You get a cusp.
But that evolution that you shrink.
Shrink and then you.
That evolution is normally stable, right?
Yeah, but it's a good point. I'm sorry. Can I come back to your question later on? Because it's I forgot to say, but it's not the time for me to come to it. That the truth is that this evolution through the cusp can continue, but then okay. Let me come back to the question later on. It is, that's, I come to it.
Were these solutions to the minimization are always discontinuous rows?
Yeah. So you start from the solution. Here's the story. So you find some solution with a given area. I forgot to write that here, integral over rho of dz supposed to be given. You give me this number, and you solve this Coulomb gas with a given number of particles. And then, if this number of particles less than some minimal number, it's okay. There is a solution. If it's more, it's also okay. But there is some intermediate.
What sense is there a connection between T star and T double star? I mean,
there's two numbers. There are two numbers which depends on the initial set.
No, I mean physically, if you pump it and so on.
I come to this, but I will not have time.
There will be two different solutions.
Yeah,
which
two different.
Are not connected.
Okay, the story is that this droplet growing a finger, then finger dive to the another sheet of Riemann surface for some reason,
and then it
appear again.
So it has.
No. But yes, if you minimize it, no, there is a solution, but this solution multiply connected.
Okay.
And this is answer for his question, but I don't really want to come to it. It's bring me close. It's answer for this. No, you can solve the problem in the middle, but typically the solution is multiple connectors. Have multiple connectors. Okay, but I have to give you one more reformulation of this problem to connect it to subjects which has been discussed in this audience before. And this is based on Adamar formula. Now, but before coming to Adamar formula, let me reinterpret this story. So as I have said, velocity is proportional to the gradient of pressure. But pressure obeys Dirichlet problem, so if you have to find it. How to find it? You have to map it to uniformize it, map it to unit circle. Then pressure is simply logarithm of the map, and gradient of pressure is taking on the boundary. It is harmonic, not conformal, but harmonic measure. It's just a velocity prime of this conformal map. Okay, harmonic measure has the following interpretation. This object, harmonic measure, is a probability for a Browning mover, which can start from infinity, reach an aggregate at some given domain at that particular point. So if you start to put some particle, it moves, and ask what's the probability that it comes to the given domain at that point, that is this probability. So you can think about it from another point of view. Instead of pumping water here so it grows, you can think that you put extra particles from infinity, they come and aggregate. It's a reinterpretation. By the way, when it's aggregate, then another particle we assume that it can't come to this particular place. It must not stay on the same thing. It must glue, for instance, here. And in some sense, and it will be, in this sense, it must be precise and formalized, this particle become a fermion, and all this domain is the same domain which is Fermi surface, which is Sasha talked about previously, and my cusps will be shock waves of this story, but I'll come to it. Okay, what is Adamar formula? It is a mathematical formula of the following. Suppose you have a domain, you map it, let me talk about exterior. You map exterior to exterior of the unit circle, and W of Z is a map. And then, suppose you have this map, you write it in a piece of paper, and then you change the domain by adding a small bump here, by a very small bump, and then map it again. Of course, map changes. How does it change? It changes according to this equation, this formula, and this is called Adamar formula 1905. So the change of the map is given by this ratio where theta is the image of this point here, multiplied to the harmonic measure, multiplied to the area of the addition which you add here. So if the mover come and hit at this point and glue, then it's a new map. I map it again, and the change is this is Adamar formula. Okay. Now, Adamar formula can be used to reinterpret this problem, to reformulate it. But before this, let me make a connection to the following. You have a lecture of Hastings here, who in 1995, with Leonid Levitov, used this formula to generate DLA, diffusion limited aggregation trees. I'll talk about it a bit later. And that's the following game. You say that this area is fixed, given, I don't know, 1 millimeter square, a given number, but then choose this position, theta, randomly. And then the story growing, and that will be DLA. This is called Hastings-Levitov algorithm. The area is fixed, set in random. If you want radial SLE, then you do with this formula a different game. You say that this is capacity and this is kept constant, not the area, but the capacity. This is capacity, kept constant, and then set is random. That would be SLE.
Not simply random, but a Browning motion.
Browning motion, sorry. Random means Browning. Here's not. But then if you want, if you want to reproduce the fluid dynamics, this fluid dynamics, you do have this formula, but then not assume that it's random, but average over all possible value of theta with the probability 1, taking this integral. In this form, this is called Ben-Simon-Schreiman equation, it describes evolution of conformal map, and it's another equivalent reformulation of this simple growth. And this is connection between these two between these three. Okay, now, so if you do the first algorithm, then you generate DLA trees, and this is the same basically story, but instead of averaging, you assume that every particle which you add have a finite size, and the size doesn't go to zero. And this is generated under this mechanism. And fluid dynamics generated under this blind average. Okay, now why I don't want to think about the surface tension is simply because I'm thinking about these patterns. And this is entirely geometrical pattern. It's just particle come and glue to each other. There's no surface tension, not whatsoever. It is just pure geometry, come and glue. Right? There is no diffusion here. It is, the entropy is conserved, nothing happened. And this is why this surface tension mechanism and all other diffusive mechanisms must be, if we target these patterns, they must be excluded from the game. Otherwise, it's a different problem. Maybe equally interesting, but different.
So is DLA ITK conserved?
No. No, and okay, there are some numerics about it, also by Hastings and Levitov and other people, many numerics, and I don't trust neither of them, but their conclusion is that they are not, and they are not supposed to. They will be conserved only if you do this blind average. Mm-hmm. If you don't, if it's stochastic, they are not conserved, and also stochastic. But their distribution is not known.
Okay.
No. No.
What's the difference? Can you go back? What's the difference between the picture, the turbulent?
This is generated by a simple computer algorithm. You have an aggregate, some particles with a given size, come, glue. Let it grow. I have a movie here, but I don't know how to connect it. Okay. This one generated through the evolution of conformal map according to this equation.
Usually they don't look
at it. Sorry? They pretend to be the same.
Oh, okay.
There is no theorems and there is no proof that they are the same, but they look the same and they are statistically the same.
So here you have turbulence without flow in a sense? Or just
No, I just call it a turbulent regime because it's not one singularity but collection of singularity. So initially the domain is smooth, then it's growing, and then first singularity comes, second, and then many, many, many. This is regime when these singularities start to talk to each other. Okay. So as in turbulence and in many nonlinear problems, and here's the story. If you do this DLA numerical, it is well defined. And it's well defined because the particle which arrives have a finite size, h bar. Finite size, then everything is finite, and you can continue this forever. As soon as you send it to zero, you will have this cast problem and wrong sheet of the Riemann surface. So it's basically a question how to put this h bar to zero, and there is a simple argument which says that, well, if before the turbulent regime, when it's still smooth, you can place it to zero and then obey this Ben-Simon-Schreiman equation, just average. But when there are a number of singularities occur, you can do this. So this limit is singular, but as soon as h bar is finite, everything fine. Of course, when the tree getting large, this tree getting large, you don't care about this h bar already, right? So it again disappears from the game. Very close to turbulence. When you introduce viscosity, but then viscosity, you introduce the effect of viscosity, but the value of viscosity again doesn't matter. Okay. So then the question, then basically the question is, how shall I modify this equation to make it meaningful in order to go through this Caspi places and go to this, allow to go to this turbulent regime? Definitely, it must be not dissipative mechanisms, right? Because otherwise it's just pure geometry, gluing boxes, growth. And this is a story about. And one simple thing is, one simple idea is to regularize it by adding noise. Noise is a method of stabilization, but it must be very clever noise in such that it doesn't introduce diffusion. Okay, now I have to, I'm sorry, I have to run it with the pace of string theory. Let me stop here and switch to another subject and say a few words about dispersive regularization or Hamiltonian perturbation. It's a general knowledge not related to this particular problem, and the previous talk was a little bit about it, but I elaborated a bit further, but on elementary level. Okay, here's an example. This is one-dimensional Riemann equation for one-dimensional flow. U is velocity, dot is the time derivative, and state derivative. It's called Riemann equation. Now, Riemann equation is unstable. If you create a bump of velocity, a profile of velocity, run it with this equation, as Sasha explained, it's getting sharper. This is called bright side and dark side. Bright side getting sharper, and eventually it overhangs, which is meaningful. So any solution of this equation, most of solutions of this equation are unstable. This equation is okay before this catastrophe occurs. This is called gradient catastrophe, known in nonlinear equations, nonlinear physics. And gradient catastrophe occur due to nonlinearity. Okay. So the question is, how can I regularize this equation? I have to such that solution will become meaningful, but such that it will still become Hamiltonian equation. I don't want diffusion. Of course, I have to regularize it by adding higher order terms, higher order terms with higher derivatives. But higher derivatives bring me necessity of a dimensional parameter. So I have to introduce some dimensional parameter. Certainly, I will not have time today, but what I plan to do is I plan to show you that the story with this class and the wrong sheet of the Riemann surface after the class is mathematically, identically, not just really, but identically to this problem. It's one-to-one. Connection is really complicated and goes through the hook theory of this connection must go through integrable systems, and this problem is integrable as well as this. But I can do the sketch, but I'm not sure that there is a time. Okay. Now, one possible regularization of this equation is add terms with high derivative with dimensional parameter, and this is called Burgers equation. You know what happened? This is diffusive regularization, which destroys the Hamiltonian. There is no Hamiltonian in the system, energy dissipates. You don't want this in this problem. And this is like adding the surface tension. Well, here the moving and it's a good thing. So there is a short wave, but then it's the diffusive term regularizes it, so it stays. Other ways of to regularize it is add something, some terms with high derivative, but a clever one, such that it will not destroy the Hamiltonian structure. And this is called Hamiltonian perturbation. And this is some branch of mathematical nonlinear physics, is how to find possible Hamiltonian perturbations, and they are classified. They have been classified. And here's two of them. One is non-local, with the Benjaminon equation, and another is local, it requires a high derivative, which is CD. There, the short wave behaves very differently. So it is overturned, but instead of turning, proceeds with some singularity, some oscillation, right? And what happened actually here, the way how we want to regularize this problem is through this way, and this picture will be very relevant. This would be images of my finite size particle which I'm going to add to the system. The way how, one way how to find Hamiltonian regularization of Hamiltonian perturbations is the following. You have to quantize the system. Literally quantize the system. It's not quantum, but you just quantize the system, and quantization introduces some this parameter. Riemann equation, this is the KdV equation, is implementation of quantization. This is H-bar. It's a classical equation, but quantization plays a role in this system. It's just a procedure.
Epsilon is not singular. It is singular.
Yeah, and the limit of the epsilon is a singular.
Singular, so you can sense
it doesn't. So the limit of the epsilon is the following. So before the greater catastrophe, epsilon goes to zero, no problem, it's regularly. But when it's after this super epsilon, epsilon goes to zero, it becomes singular. And the way how to make this limit eventually is the subject of so called rhythm modulation theory. And this is the story for which I have 3 minutes left. So basically, the story is here what I want to do. I want to introduce this additional parameter, solve the problem, but then send it to zero, but not in the equation, but in the solution. If I send this parameter equal to zero just to equation, I will be in trouble after this disaster. But if I send it in the solution, I will get something meaningful, and this is what regularization I can find. So the semi-classical limit is rather similar in this case, and how to do this.
Ways
to
get different answers.
Yeah, okay, here's a story. So if I restrict myself only by Hamiltonian, then the answers will be the same. Because you can think about this addition as the first term of the further extension. So this is the leading terms with the smallest number of derivatives. There will be higher order of derivatives, but they will play no role. So in a sense, there is a huge amount of universality in this Hamiltonian regularization. There are many of them, but if you keep only the leading term, that's sufficient.
What about
Non-Bokov? Evolution of this hyperliquid curve. If I really close the cut, I can parameterize it by y, this is my profile, by some hyperliquid curve, so y is a function of x, this is y, and run to the cut. And then, so I start from, for instance, this equation with certain parameters, I uniformize it, map it to the, not to the limits of this time, but to the plane. And then drive this Kolmogorov Kochina equation, or string equation. It is the same as the function of the I will find that the coefficients. These coefficients will depend exactly like dispersion of CDV equation when this last term dropped. And this equation will lead me to this sum. However, if I replace Poisson brackets by really operators and limitation by for the price by having paid the price introducing finite dimensionless parameter just the quantization, then the same procedure leads me to the full KdV equation, which will have trouble, but it's well defined and classical problem, no, well, leave me this piece. Quantized problem is well defined. Later, I will drop it again, but I will drop it not here, but in the solution itself. What does this mean, this dropping? I think the average of this fast acceleration, and see how it goes so fast as such. And this average is a Wiesen theory.
Quantum problem, U should be operators or somehow?
No, no, it's numbers. It's again numbers, but it goes, it's numbers, it is grow, it's an equation for average, averages.
So the average, okay.
There are operators, but
sure.
I find
okay.
it.
Thanks.
It's equation for average. Okay. In more general setting, this reformulation of this problem in the form of this Lubarinova-Kochina equation, or thin equation, replace of quantization of the conformal map. Remember, that was a conformal map, and that was inverse of conformal substitution of conformal map. And thereby, the equation which is equivalent to the result, I will quantize it, replacing by conformal map by operators. And this is a well-defined procedure by introducing a parameter. And this is what I will call. This quantization I will call dispersive regularization of the Hilbert problem. Now it is stochastic, so quantum mechanics can be, this type of quantum mechanics can be reinterpreted as a stochastic process. And now it becomes stochastic, so I sort of introduce noise in a very clever way, then I remove it.
So we regularize, you've got more spatial derivatives there. So if I think of it as an initial value problem, now what's going on depends on more initial data. So if I think of this as an initial value problem, so now I have to specify more derivatives.
No, it's the same data. If you give me the same data, I run it through. It may sound confusing, but this is the case. I have only 1 minute left, so I have to go. Okay. Now, apparently, it is known how to solve this quantum equation. This quantization has a known form, so you don't need to really think about this quantized problem because it's already known. And this problem is simply called random matrices. And this is how these problems are linked. So if you take this Laplacian growth equation and decided to quantize it, having in mind putting this h bar 0 again after solution, then this problem can is well known and it is right in existence. So this is where my talk actually begins. So but I think you were just a few words. It is sorry not about Hermitian matrices, which has been discussed here, but about normal matrices. And normal matrix, it's a sort of certain generalization of Hermitian matrices. It's matrices which commute with its complex conjugate, Hermitian conjugate. Hermitian matrices has eigenvalues real, and normal matrices have eigenvalues complex. So then you ask the following. If any element of the normal matrix is obeys certain distribution and independent from each other, what is the distribution of the eigenvalues? And the answer is the following, that eigenvalues of these matrices densely distribute within some part of the complex plane, and this is exactly as this field. So if you grow the matrix, if you grow the size of the matrix, the size of the matrix apparently is the area of this field. So if you grow the size, this field is domain of eigenvalues that density is growing, and the growth is precisely that.
Can be crystal.
It can be crystal, but I have no time in space. It isn't the transparent. For instance, I don't know whether you can see something here, but if you choose potential to be Gaussian for this random matrix and ask how the eigenvalue is distributed, this is the probability of the distribution. And then you may ask, what's the best position for them to maximize the probability? You know, as you can see, it's 10,000 points. It's computed by Laughlin in his original paper because it's all well related to quantum Hall effect. And you can see that all these eigenvalues and matrices occupy ideal cycle, ideal circle, with a very sharp boundary. And this is because it's Gaussian. However, if you change the Gaussian distribution by adding some holomorphic potentials, which knows about your initial data, potential sensitivity, then the droplet of eigenvalues is completely unstable, and some small addition just drive it out of the circle. For instance, this is what happened with cyclotrochoid. This is eigenvalues of the random matrices with the potential in addition to Gaussian. So we just distort it, and this is what happens. Okay, I stop here, but I would like to say last word about it. So the classical problem is not well defined after this gradient effect. This random matrix is well defined. There's no problem here. Computer can study. It's complicated, but it's well defined. Before the gradient catastrophe, the classical limit from here, classical limit means that this h bar goes to zero and then goes to infinity, reproduce the fluid dynamics, which stopped to be well defined after catastrophe. And so this stuff is well defined, so you can study it and tell what happened after this trouble. And this is what we called dispersive regularization. It has several features. It has a dimensional parameter here. It has stochastic interpretation, because this is the probability for particles arrive to that particular place. It remains integrable, namely, there is no diffusive forces. Maybe I mention in the last moment, which we are seeing here, the last moment, how this stuff is related to conformal field theory. It's related to many things, but in particular to conformal field theory. In order to make this connection, I had to generalize this Laplacian growth problem by raising this gradient of pressure harmonic measure to some power. If you do this, this is what is called dielectric breakdown problem. It's also this model. And kappa is a silly kappa. So for kappa equal 4, it is this power 1. But the rest is the same. It has the same features, it has the same trouble with cusps or all this stuff. The matrix, the Coulomb gas which generalizes, which regularizes, it is of the same form, except instead of 2, I put kappa over 2.
What is the potential we should be choosing now, W?
Well, this is arbitrary potential which implements initial data of the growth. It is something which doesn't change. Growth here means increasing the size of the matrix, increasing numbers of Coulomb gas particles.
But empirically, if you need to learn to break down problem classically, decays are constants or not?
No, they're not. It's a different, big difference. Okay. But here, but then in this language, I can describe in a short way relation to conformal. If I study the fluctuations of the ZDIs, and to study them, it's always very convenient to introduce some of their logs, function phi. And from this, I subtract its classical value, which is this series shows. And then I ask, how does this difference distribute? It's a random problem. It's a stochastic problem, a random problem. What's the probability to find, if I know the probability to find ZI, and this is given by this one, yes? Can I find the probability of setting this to phi, assuming that there are many of them now, and this function is smooth? The answer is given by Gaussian action. this alpha naught is this object, and k is a general curvature of my domain, which before the gradient catastrophe. And this action, this Gaussian action, is known to be related. It describes conformal field theory with a central charge less than one. And the central charge related to this kappa, if you choose kappa equal 4, which corresponds to that story.
Then it comes to the result or conjecture?
No, it's a result. It's a mathematical problem.
So what Makarov was
saying? Yeah, and Makarov talked about from here to here. I just concentrated on the
curvature should be pi, or the
dual fashion? Oh, sorry. Yeah. This is supposed to be Hilbert transform of this phi, like in Benjamin Onna equation, which Sasha described. Mistake here. This is not phi, but phi h, Hilbert transform. Sorry.
Let me first of all make an announcement that tomorrow, 3:30, we'll have a discussion session in this business. And I hope Paul is feeling well enough tomorrow to lead the discussion. So it's more or less, it will be a continuation of this. But St. Cyr's is not coming, in fact, they're not there. Maybe today it's not their day. So if you have some questions, please.
How eigenvalues are the product of M and adjoint distributed? I mean, the eigenvalues of M are distributed inside the domain, right?
Inside the domain.
And if you take subadjoint matrix, M and adjoint, how are they
distributed?
Yes.
Are they distributed along the line? Because they are hidden. With certain ends. And the information, all this information will be hidden in the position of these ends. In that story, these ends become a curve.
Mm-hmm. So normal in gravity,
permission is not possible. I may make a comment about it.
Yes.
In the permission methods, in ensemble, eigenvalue is distributed within some interval with a certain density. And so here they're more dense than here, some density. And in normal matrices, they're distributed in domain with density 1, or 1 over n. It's uniform density, but only all the information about complicated density transferred to the shape of the domain.
So this curve characterizes everything as well?
Yeah, yes. For instance, if you want symmetrical, there are relations between them. For instance, you know, but if it's happened that your domain has a mirror symmetry, that would be quotient y, and that would be quotient x. So this is in the corresponding normal. But you can forget about matrices and think about all this. So,
why is kappa smaller than 4?
In the two cases, kappa more than 4
to make kappa huge.
If you make kappa huge, this provision goes to 0. And then there is a conjecture unproven that in this moment you can't keep it zero.
But what if you call that you expect it to be so?
Well, even so.
From the point of view of Coulomb, that's what expect it to be so, yeah.
You know, there's a couple, one over kappa.
It's ZI minus ZJ to power kappa over 2.
Yeah, so
it's large for a Bayesian fraction.
Yeah, on one case it's, this limit when some limits made it, not good. Then there's no limit, it's a different limit, it's only the position.
And how is the geometry gross of the domain with T?
diameter of what?
Diameter of this.
Of what?
Yes. The area is T.
The area is T.
What is diameter?
And there is no such thing as diameter because it's a pretty, it has a pretty complicated shape.
So diameter is the distance between two farthest.
You mean the
proper direction. Yes. Okay, I can tell you what go your way to this. There is three. Such as the number of particles here is n. And this is a sort of k multiplied by h bar equal to n. Then you may ask what's the largest branch, right? So because it's an area, it's supposed to be, we create something like that, right? And this quantity is numerically fluctuating between 1.66 to 1.73. Depends on the author, depends on the setup of the design. But it's pretty much robust, and all data, from the point of view, which I don't share, but in literature, they will tell you that 1.71, this is a sort of robust level.
And this is for kappa equal 4. For kappa not equal 4, they know, they also know numerically. Okay, there's a graph.
Yes, maybe one more question.
Okay.
So, just to make sure I understand, so what is the current status of the effect of the quantum regularization that we've been talking about of Laplacian growth? So if I just do it somehow, numerically or somehow, what is the pattern that emerges? Is it a pattern that is similar to, or?
There are two different
theories. Right, or is it unknown, or is it already?
There are two different avenues of research which we perceive, people perceive mostly. One is to study singularities. What happens with the singularity? And then there are different number of singularities. One is very bad. The most generic 2-3 is a very bad one. It's called maximum singularity. And there are better one, like 2-5 to 11. Those we managed to do. To go through all these reasons, all this story, and describe what evolution of what fluid dynamics happened, what's going on. And this is a pretty simple story, which I didn't recall just now. And there is some limited progress with studying the major singularity is 2-3. And this problem related to understanding of rhythm average of the solution of Kern-Hilbert equation, which is difficult. Okay. Then there is a problem, what happens when two droplets merge or break up. There is also singularities. It's also has been done by doing this method. This is one story, about singularities. Then there is a story about the stochastic patterns and how they, what is their stochastic geometry. It looks like it is a different story because the singularities start to talk to each other. Okay. And the avenue of thinking in this way is to relate it to the Gaussian field and eventually to SLE through this relation to conformal field theory which I mentioned in one way. But this is just in the beginning and there's not much to say there. But all this is shaped, bounded within suddenly this Coulomb gas problem. If you really understand this random matrix, this Coulomb gas, it's there.
I suggest we close it now, and we have more discussion tomorrow's research. Thank you.